The Racing Pulse Thursday Trial Show with Racing.com's Matt Welsh.
And it is an early edition of the Trial Show. Great to get Matty Welsh in. And thanks for coming in early, because we've got Will Price and Simon Price, who are stuck in Melbourne's traffic. They will be coming in shortly. But always great to see you, Matty.
Yeah, good to be here, Michael. And thanks for the call up into prime time. Looking forward to it. Hopefully we can find a winner or two.
Your tips are always prime time. We have people tuning in just for this segment as well. Speaking of trials, we'll be talking about all the horses that you have earmarked and the horses to follow, but important set of trials on in Sydney. We just watched on the telly, Catch Me looked pretty impressive, winning a recent trial. Now, we're going to make contact with the Snowdens, because she's entered to run on Saturday, and that was a pretty full-on trial there, so you'd have to think, would you back up in 2 days?
I wouldn't necessarily have thought so, but she got back and hit the line really strongly. She was still quite keen in the run, but I noticed she was up against mainly unraced horses, and I don't have a great handle on the Sydney form, so probably need to check times and things like that to judge the performance better. But she wasn't wearing the blinkers that she wore in the Blue Diamond, of course, but it got a long way back. She has had that habit of wanting to overdo things a little bit, particularly on the way to the barriers. Jane Ivel from Racing.com noted that on the way to the barriers a couple of times at Caulfield. So I think one of the challenges for them is trying to get her to settle a little bit, and obviously playing around with gear and so on and so forth. But potentially they're heading on towards the Golden Slipper.
Absolutely. Liar is trialling in around about 5 to 10 minutes time. We'll also see Loving Gabby trialling a little later, and Free of Debt, and then Nature Strip. So it's a really important set of trials in Sydney, which we'll keep you updated here on RSN 927. Now, before we speak to the trials, you caused a little bit of controversy yourself. You're normally fairly mild-mannered and played the V, so to speak, but you've had a crack during the week and said we need to do away with our stakes and group racing. We've got too many top-end races.
I think probably asserting that we should do away with it's probably a little bit over the top, but just providing an alternative opinion on a challenge that does face racing, in my humble opinion, is that there isn't enough an incentive for the stars to keep racing with the lure of the breeding barn. And no one can begrudge breeders. They run a business, and they're completely within their rights to whistle horses away to start as soon as they've got their group one or got their group two or whatever they need to do to get off there. They run a business, and they do a fantastic job doing so. I was just musing on the way to work on Tuesday morning that it was unlikely we'd see the Autumn Sun and Winx clash, which evidently a lot of people want to see. And we've seen with the drawing power of Winx down here in Victoria that stars do get people to the track. They still are able to. And I just feel that if racing can do something to try and get stars racing on longer, it's only going to be for the betterment of the sport.
I wonder how much, and we'd probably need to speak to a breeding expert or one of the major breeders. If the Autumn Sun wins the Rosehill Guineas and then he takes on Winx and he gets beaten 3, 4, 5 lengths, is it actually going to devalue his stud?
Well, that's something that I mooted as well on in the article, is the way it's perceived. Running second to Winx is probably seen as a negative in the page of the Autumn Sun when it comes to breeding, whereas winning group one after group one and being largely undefeated, obviously he lost one race, but the more you win, the more black type you collect in your book, the more valuable the horse. Whereas in this modern age where all the good punters don't assess races based on group status or listed status. They assess the races based on the time, the quality of opposition that the horse is up against. I think we're in a more sophisticated era where that is potentially the way breeding could be assessed. And for mine, running second to Winx, I don't necessarily think that the Autumn Sun, if you had a Happy Clapper or something like that in the race, personally, I don't think the Autumn Sun would run second. But if he were to run second to Winx in a weight for age group one, I would see that as far more adding a value to the horse than winning yet another group one against three-year-olds.
It's an interesting piece, and you can read that on racing.com's website. Food for thought. Hey, Matty, you're the trial expert. You're in the studio. We've got some important trials going on. So what we might do, we might take this trial live, because we've got the Blue Diamond winner, Liar, who is in the next two-year-old trial at Randwick, having her first look the Sydney way of going, and this is the lead-up for her to be heading into the Golden Slipper. Let's take this trial live. Our caller is Matt Jackson.
So, trial 6, 1,050. They're ready. Racing now. Oh, getting a check after the start there was Deep Sea, so it's gone back to a clear last. Mesa bounced fast, and it'll lead it at the first turn from Madam Legend and Latina Beauty. In fourth along the rails, as they come off the back straight, they're most welcome, and deeper is Liar than Brandenburg. Next came Olympic, right around the outside in waves, and at the end is Deep Sea. So they're pretty jammed up here as they come down the side of the track to the home turn. It's Mesa and Madam Legend, a length and a half away, Liar third. In fourth came Latina Beauty, most welcome the rails. Then in waves Olympic, Brandenburg and Deep Sea. So they corner for home now. They've got 400 to go, and it's Mesa, Madam Legend being tackled by Liar the outside, running on his in waves, and then Latina Beauty, Olympic and Deep Sea coming down the outside. Liar's taken the lead at the 200, drawn a length clear from Mesa, and then came running on Deep Sea, but Liar's broken clear 100 to go. Two lengths in front of Deep Sea, but he extends well late, does Liar, and that's a nice bit of work. Liar won by 2, Deep Sea second, Mesa third, from in waves, and then came...
Well, that was pretty impressive to the eye, Matty. That was her first go around the Sydney way of going, and she was given a little bit of a shake-up with about 200 to go, and then it was a soft win on the line, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly was. She moved very nicely, which you'd expect to see with 3 runs under her belt this preparation. She has a fitness edge on a lot of them, but she moved extremely well. The Freedman runners are not necessarily flashy trialers at the best of times, so they like to save it for race day, and she looked fantastic. She's come through her Blue Diamond win in good order, and I think it was a reasonably strong Blue Diamond win, especially with a bit of the
Melbourne form
falling
seems
away
to be
a little bit. So
holding up, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and I think both Lyre and Loving Gabby are going to be right in contention come Slipper Day, and of course we saw Microphone, who came off a very fast win down the straight at Flemington, go up to Sydney and frank that form. So I think they're right in the mix this year, the Victorian two-year-olds.
Who would you rather be on at this point in time in the Slipper? You saw Yes, Yes, Yes on the weekend. We've got Tenley and then Microphone Lies, a $9 fourth favourite at the moment, and Loving Gabby at $11. And then we've got Dubious. So the Victorian form is dominating. We've got 5 horses out of the top 6 who have raced in Victoria.
I really like Loving Gabby. I still think she is right in the mix come Slipper Day. She's going to get a fair way back, but I think she's a lovely filly, and she's just going to improve. You know, even though it's only another start under the belt, she's quite big. She'll improve with that race experience. So her each way at that $11 appeals for mine.
And we'll get to see her trialing a little later this morning as well. Maddie, before we get into your trial files and the ones to follow, All-Star Mile, we've got a really intriguing race on Saturday. It's been a big build-up. The top end is Elite. How do you see it?
Yeah, look, it's a fantastic race. I think I wrote an article a week or so ago about this race, and you take the top 8 in the handicap ratings, and it's significantly higher than, say, last year's Doncaster. So the race is really strong at the top end. I have been very keen on Mystic Journey throughout. I'm glad she got into the race. I had something on her a few weeks ago. And
What price did you get?
She was $20-ish around that mark. So hopefully I was a little bit... disgusted with the barrier draw, but anyway, out in gate 16, because I think she is a filly who can use a good draw, and we saw that in the Caulfield Guineas. And that's one of the interesting dynamics of this race is the speed map. Hawkshot got that last wild card, and he's probably going to lead them up, unless, of course, Happy Clapper went out as hard as he did in Sydney last start, which I don't necessarily see happening. I think that was a tactic to try and stretch Winks on that occasion, and it worked to some degree. But I think Happy Clapper will settle just off speed. So that'll probably leave Hawkshot with an easy lead. And I think Adam Trinder and Anthony Darmanin will face a bit of a quandary as to whether they roll forward out 3 deep in the early stages and maybe try and get up outside Hawkshot.
So you'd like to see her go forward?
I wouldn't mind seeing her at least rolling. We've got southerly winds on Saturday, southeasterly winds, so I wouldn't mind her being trapped 3 wide rolling forward. I'd far prefer that than snagging back to settle it towards the back of the field.
Because we spoke to Adam Trinder on Tuesday live. He was on the line when the barrier was drawn. Now, he held his emotions pretty well, but his first initial thought, without going into anything in deep, was he was hoping to maybe get the back of Elise.
That would be ideal scenario, because she's going to take you a long way into the race. There's a lot of horses in this race who won't take you into the race and could potentially drag you further back. So I think for those good quality horses at the top of the market, that the key is going to be building momentum, because as I say, there are a few slower horses who will probably drag you back in the field. But you know, Adam Trinder assessed the barrier beautifully leading into the Australian Guineas. He knew exactly where he wanted to be off gate one. His filly had been out the back in both starts in Tasmania leading into it, but he knew he was going to get his jockey Anthony Darmanin to use gate one, settled leaders back, and she did the rest. And he made an interesting comment on after the last night, and he said that this filly prefers to be out wide. Yep. She didn't enjoy racing in behind horses in the Australian Guineas, and she probably proved that at Moonee Valley with her mile win in the Spring Carnival, which was an enormously high rating win when she sat three deep and beat Fundamentalist by two lengths, who's obviously since gone on and proven her quality with a stack of Group 1 places.
So what do you make of Daniel O'Sullivan, who Matt's done an article on, and he said, I've got a bit of a question over the three-year-old form. Clearly, Elise Happy Clapper rates stronger than the improving Mystic Journey.
Yeah, after all I've said there, I think if Happy Clapper ran up to his last run and his last rating, he'd win. And I think he's probably the horse over the odds in the current market at around that $5.50. I think he's probably entitled to go around favourite on what he did last start. Elise is probably the one I think should be closer to that $5 mark, whereas she's $3.50. So I have Happy Clapper favourite ahead of Mystic Journey and then probably out to Elise. I think Hawkshot will run in the first four with that soft run up on speed. Ever since he's gone to the Lindsay Park stable, they've been riding him positively. He was dominant at Caulfield, and he then faced what was a really strong headwind in the Australian Guineas. And on that day, no horse in the first two ran anywhere near got anywhere near winning, and he stuck on and ran extremely well to run second to Mystic Journey. So he may have his choice to get into the race may have been controversial, but I think he'll back that up by running in the first four. And Hartnell's going to get a soft run, loves the mile, he's the other one, but really good race and looking forward to it.
Gee, it's going to be fascinating. Now let's get into the best trials of the past week. Just a couple of SMSs coming through. Good morning, how are you watching these trials? Well, they're on Sky Thoroughbred Central. If you want to watch the Sydney trials, you can tune on to Sky Thoroughbred Central. And a breeder's text in to say they agree with you, Matt. It's a very small percentage would be, very small, 100% agree about if the Autumn Sun got beaten, it wouldn't do any damage to his price tag. So
very interesting.
There we go. All right, Matty, take us through, where are we going trials-wise?
Well, head out to Camperdown. We haven't had any official trials in the last 7 days, but went and watched some jump-outs at Camperdown, which were on Tuesday. We've seen a couple of boom two-year-old fillies trialling up in Sydney, and there was a nice two-year-old filly trial out at Camperdown. I don't think she'll be winning any of the, or challenging for the Golden Slipper in coming weeks, but I think she can win a maiden, and her name is Lola Rosie, trained by Glenn Thornton. She's a daughter of Victorian Sire Reward for effort. She sat three deep outside the speed in heat three, had a very nice action, loved the way she cleared out to win the trial late. So Lola Rosie, a two-year-old filly out of heat three at Camperdown. One out of heat four, the subsequent heat. This is a five-year-old middle distance gelding called Break and Enter, trained by Maddie Williams. Really nice trial by this galloper. Obviously gets better as the distances get longer and normally goes better deeper into a preparation. But I think Break and Enter will run a really good race when he's first up in the coming weeks. And then out of heat nine, very sharp horse, a speedy gelding called Celtic Blast. One heat nine, one of the quicker times for the morning. Sat outside the speed, just quickened down very nicely the last 200 metres. He used to be trained over in Adelaide by Ashton Downey, who is now disqualified and now finds itself with Richard Cully, who's a Ballarat trainer. And wherever he goes first up, Celtic Blast, he'll be very hard to beat.
All right, we'll put that one down in the black book. And you found a couple of nice jump outs at Caulfield as well.
Yeah, there were. These were Tuesday again. Clearly the pick of the morning for mine was See Me Exceed for Mick Price, who took out heat one. She's a four-year-old mare. She looked very sharp. She went straight to the front. They ran the quickest time of the morning, and she was just shaken up, probably about 150 metres from home, and she just put a hole in her rival. So her best run last campaign was first up at Caulfield when she was second to Lady of Flanders as a short price favourite, and she probably went off the boil a little bit thereafter. But I think she'll run a really good race when she's produced fresh in the coming weeks. And one out of heat eight for Peter Gallagotis, this horse called Nudge Bar. He's a son of Bull Bars, and he was only a $5,000 purchase at the New Zealand National Yearling Sale in 2017. And I think he's got a bit more ability than his price tag. Mm. He sat outside the speed in Heat 8 and he wasn't pushed out in winning that heat. So obviously the racing is cooling down a bit over the coming weeks, and it's going to allow a few of these lesser quality gallopers a chance to A, come to town, and B, obviously the midweek and country racing will cool off a bit. So a few to follow there out of Camperdown and Caulfield.
Sounds good. Now, can you leave us with a winner?
Yeah, look, today at Warrnambool, I don't mind one in the last race eight, number six, Wayne County for Simon Wilde. Linda Meach takes the ride. Hasn't been seen since 23rd of June last year, but was a good maiden winner on that occasion at Donald, and a recent trial was excellent. So I think Wayne County each way in the last at Warrnambool.
All right, $4.40 for the punters out there. $6 into $4.40. So once again, you've had a bet before you've come on air, Matty.
I think it was just a scratching, Michael.
Well, was it? Hey, good luck with Mystic Journey too.
Absolutely. And just quickly on Saturday, racing.com, yes, we're launching Pick 7, which is a chance this Saturday to win $200,000 free-to-play game.
Huge money.
It's huge money. And at least $20,000 will be given away to, if someone doesn't pick the seven winners of the last seven races at Flemington on Saturday, the highest rating tipster thereafter will win $20,000.
All for nothing.
All for nothing. Just need to sign up to as a Racing Plus member, which gives you access to all the replays and things on our platform there. And free to play, everyone who's a Racing Plus member will get an entry each week. So just head to pick7.racing.com to enter.
Huge prize. Jump on racing.com to enter that. Mick Sharkey will be doing it because he says he tips the card each and every week. So he only needs to find seven winners on Saturday.
Well, he won't need to come in and do Friday Form Focus with the $200,000, he'll be able to take
exactly
a year
right
off and go fishing.
Exactly right. Good on you, Matty. Great to see your work. If you've only tuned in late, it's an early edition. We'll have all of Matty's tips and the podcast up on rsn.net.au.
Thanks, Michael. Have a good weekend.
Coming up next, we found them. Simon Price and his son Will be in the studio.